Hello. So, I have a trick or a treat for you today on our last Murder Mystery Monday of October 2020, the Halloween season, whatever you want to call it.
I'm
Halloween.
excited.
Yes. So, this article that I'm just going to read it. It's from allthat'sinteresting.com. And this is the gruesome tale of the unsolved Hinterkaifeck murders. And I'm just going to, like, what is that thing? Like, forewarn you, I do not know how to pronounce things. So I'm trying.
Got it. Got it.
So, all right. Well, here we go. Though more than 100 suspects were interviewed as recently as 1986, an official suspect has never been named in the Hinterkaifeck murders. About a week before March 31st, 1922, farmer Andreas Gruber noticed something strange on his farmstead, known locally as Hinterkaifeck. Outside the home, he found footsteps leading from the woods behind the farm, pointing toward his home, but none leading away from it. Gruber never reported the footsteps to the police, as the small German farm, located about 43 miles north of Munich, was a relatively quiet and safe place. If he had, the Grubers might have avoided the gruesome and mysterious crime that befell them. On March 31st, an unknown person, potentially persons, lured each of the six members of the Gruber family to their deaths. Andreas, his wife, Casilia, their adult daughter, Victoria, their granddaughter, Cazilia, were all lured to the barn and slaughtered inside with a pickaxe. The family maid, Maria, and their baby grandson, Joseph, were murdered in the home in their bedchambers. Almost a week later, on April 4th, neighbors, along with several townspeople, stopped by to check on the Hinterkaifeck farm. Young Cazilia had not turned up for school for 2 days in a row, and the mailman had noticed the mail beginning to pile up in the post box. They immediately called the police, who began an investigation into finding the murderer. They were unsuccessful, though the years, or I'm sorry, through the years, Munich police interviewed more than 100 suspects as recently as 1986 to no avail. To this day, the murders remain unsolved. And though the scene was grisly, there was a minor consolation. It appeared at first that most of the victims had died instantly from their wounds, but a later investigation would reveal that lung Cazilia had survived for hours afterward and likely died from shock. She was found missing clumps of her hair, which investigators believed she had pulled out herself. And though they never found it, the police interviews and investigations, the police were able to come up with clues and answers. A few days before the murders, around the time that Andreas had noticed the footprints, neighbors recall him complaining of hearing footsteps in the attic, as well as missing keys to the tool shed where the murder weapon had been kept. He had also told them that he had found a newspaper in his home that he hadn't purchased. The investigation also revealed that the maid who had preceded Maria had quit 6 months before the murders because she was hearing voices and believed the house was haunted. Police later decided that the voices, the newspaper, and the footprints could only mean that the murderer had actually been living in the home with the Grubers for more than 6 months before killing them. Suspects were interviewed in the town, such as a man who claimed to be the father of widowed Victoria's son, Joseph, though everyone ultimately was cleared. After the investigation had been closed, the bodies of the Grubers were sent for autopsies. Their heads were removed and sent to clairvoyants in Munich to unearth metaphysical clues. The clairvoyants were
Oh my
unsuccessful.
goodness.
And to what make matters worse, lost the heads during the turmoil caused by World War II.
Why didn't they just bring like fly in the clairvoyants?
I don't know. Like, would you even need to fly them in? They were only like 40 miles away.
I mean, I don't understand why it's like, I know, let's just remove the heads of the people and send them to this person.
Mean, like, when you think about it, on like the, I don't know, like the cheesy, like, ghost shows that we watch, when they have someone who's sensitive to that kind of stuff, don't they do better, like, actually at the scene?
You would
Like,
think. I didn't
head.
I didn't know that they removed, because I've heard of the story, like, on multiple things, and it's like, I didn't know that they removed their heads and sent it to a clairvoyant. And then to have their heads get lost.
Okay, so I did know that they removed the heads. I didn't know that they removed them to send them to a clairvoyant, and I did know that the heads went missing.
Don't you think the clairvoyant would be like, you may want to use a different carrier method, because you're about to lose the heads.
We're like, for the future. It's kind of like, I remember, side note, a few years ago, Sylvia Brown was like a very like renowned psychic, like in the States, that I remember seeing on like Maury and like Sally Jesse Raphael and all of those like cheesy shows growing up. And then like I saw like, oh, she died like a few years ago. And I was like, I wonder if she saw it coming.
Or when she told those people that, like, their daughter was dead, and then they found their daughter, like, a week later.
I think Tim and I saw one, and I'm not sure if it was her or someone else, but it was, like, an inside edition, and they were investigating, like, if the clairvoyants were real. And the woman, they showed this picture, and they were like, have you, okay, we're trying to find her. She went missing in, like, 1970-something. And she was like, she's dead. You're going to find her body like in the backwoods of like Virginia, something like that. And they're like, no, she's not dead because I am her.
Oh, man.
The reporter's picture from when she was a teenager.
Oh.
I was never abducted. I was never.
Oh, man.
All right. Weird side.
Yeah.
Weird segue, but okay. Okay. So the bodies of the Hinterkaifeck murders were eventually buried headless in a cemetery in a nearby town. The farmstead was ultimately destroyed after all evidence could be taken from it. And though theories still float around about who the murderer actually was, any investigations done recently have been kept a secret out of respect for the still living descendants. As far as the public is concerned, the Hinterkaifeck murders remain unsolved. Oh, so that was the whole article. So I love how we had that, like, weird segue, like, literally 5 sentences from the end.
Well, and, like, so the creepy thing about, well, I mean, the whole thing is creepy, right? But
yeah,
the creepy thing is they think that the person was, like, living there for almost 6 months before, like, and that not just, like, working there, living there, but actually, like, living in the attic for a while. Yes. And they think that was living there even after they murdered the family for a week or two. And I'm surprised they didn't discuss that in the article.
I had heard that, like, I mean, this was a working farm. I had heard that the animals were still being tended to.
Yeah, the animals were still being tended to for, like, a week or two before, like, after they had found the bodies, and they're like, we think these murders happened like a week or two ago. Like, they still saw smoke coming out of the chimney. The animals have been tended to. Food was still being eaten. Like,
I had heard a theory that the neighbor, like a neighboring farm person. Wait, what? The owner of the neighboring farm was considered a suspect. And I don't know exactly what led them to believe it, but it was something to do with the fact that the farm was still up and running, that the person who had done it knew what they were supposed to be doing. It wasn't like some rando person hiding in the attic, you know what I'm saying, that like has no idea how to care for a farm.
Well, and hadn't they just let go of a farm hand?
I think they had. Let me see if I can pull up more information. I know that I've heard, like, a bunch of, like, really crazy things, and I'm not sure exactly all of them. Here is a ranker, like, the 11 disturbing facts about the unsolved Hinterkaifeck murders. I had heard something that, like, they thought that the dad was actually the father of his daughter's children or child. Mm-hmm. So the victims were probably lured to the barn one by one. This kind of just repeats that the bodies of Andreas, Cazelia, Victoria, and their granddaughter, little Cazelia, were discovered in the barn, while the corpses of Joseph and the maid Maria were found inside. Consequently, investigators concluded the killer lured four of the victims to the barn one at a time and systematically attacked them with a mattock. After murdering the elderly couple, their daughter and granddaughter, the perpetrator stacked the family body. Oh my gosh, can't read right now. Stacked the family's bloody corpses on top of each other and covered them with hay. One of the victims was so scared she tore out her hair. I'm not going to read that one because it's a kid and yeah. I don't want to go deep into that one. The killer probably stayed in the house for days after the murder. The killings went undetected for 4 days until April 4th of 1922. This was largely because in the days after the murders, the Gruber's neighbors saw smoke coming from the home's chimney, indicating someone was using the house's fireplace. Thus, it seemed as if the family were alive and well. In addition, the farm animals and the livestock were fed, and someone even went to the trouble of milking the cows. Police also discovered someone had recently eaten food in the family's house, causing them to conclude the killer had not only lived in the house after murdering six people, but had also performed daily tasks like preparing meals and maintaining the farm.
Yeah, I remember, like, I don't know why this stuck out to me, but they had eaten bacon or something, and I'm like...
Yeah, like, they had cooked, like an actual meal. It wasn't just, like, they made a bowl of, like, porridge from, like, Goldilocks. They made a meal.
Yeah.
So a series of strange events happened before the killings. This is probably going to like just reiterate stuff, but in the months and weeks leading up to the massacre, a number of strange events occurred at the Hinterkaifeck farm. Tragically, Maria Baumgartner was murdered on her very first night working for the family, as the previous housekeeper had quit approximately 6 months earlier, claiming the Gruber home was haunted. Neighbors told police the family's patriarch had reported several strange incidents, including unexplained footprints in the snow leading towards the farm, with none leading away. And footsteps in the attic. People speculate the killer may have been hiding in the home for a long period of time before murdering the six residents. Andreas also told his neighbors that his keys had gone missing and he found a strange newspaper in the house. He declined to borrow a gun from his neighbors to protect him and his family. I'm sorry, you best believe if I found or even suspected someone was living in my attic, I'd be going up there with my shotgun ready to blow motherfucker away.
Well, that always creeps me out, like, when you hear stories about there was, like, footprints leading to the house but never leading away, or whenever you hear about people that felt like they were being watched and there's always, like, footprints leading to the house but never leading away.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, a huge red flag. You need to search your house. So, oh, here's actually... something that I had heard, which I had just mentioned. While unexplained footprints and missing keys are somewhat frightening, they're nowhere near as disturbing as the alleged incestuous relationship between Andreas Gruber and his daughter Victoria. Apparently, 7 years before the residents of the Hinterkaifeck farm were murdered with a mattock, Andreas and Victoria were convicted of incest in 1915. She served 1 month in jail for the crime, while her father was sent away for an entire year. While many people believe Victoria's two-year-old son, Joseph, was the child of Lawrence Schlittenbauer, a man who lived near the family, some of the Gruber's neighbors believe the child was the product of Andreas's incestuous relationship with his daughter. This would imply that the father and daughter continued having sex with each other years after being convicted of incest. The true identity of Joseph's father remains a mystery to this day, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Her daughter was 7, so chances are that's probably her dad's kid.
So she had 2 kids, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old?
Yeah.
Was there a mom still?
Yeah, like her mom was still alive.
And so the daughter was convicted of it too, so does that mean like this was a willing situation?
Yeah, I think so. Which, that's fucking creepy. That is like, I mean, you've got so many
Or that would be really sad if it's not a willing situation and they still convicted of her, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's right, not willing and they still, like, persecute the victim.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. It won't be the last time.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. If that's how they handle the court system over there. Well, I mean, that's how they handle it over here, too, but...
Yeah. So, they also... may have been killed by Victoria's husband, so I guess the daughter was married.
Oh,
all right. So after
did
more
he
than 100-
get killed too? Well,
so
he didn't get killed.
So I don't know. This is kind of news to me.
breaking news. Okay, so, like 100 years later,
after more than 100 suspects were questioned and no one was arrested for the murders, people developed a number of theories about who committed the killings. One theory was that the Gruber family and their housekeeper had been killed by Lawrence Schlittenbauer, the neighbor who many thought was the father of Victoria's son, Joseph. He was also the man who allegedly offered to lend Andreas a gun when he mentioned the strange events that had occurred on the farm prior to the murders. Another popular theory is that the Grubers and Maria Baumgartner were killed by Carl Gabriel, Victoria's husband. Gabriel had been reportedly killed in action in 1914 when serving in World War I. Supporters of this theory believed Gabriel didn't actually die in combat. They speculate that Victoria's husband returned to the Hinterkaifeck farm after several years, and when he realized that his wife had been with another man, resulting in baby Joseph, he murdered all 6 residents in a fit of rage. So, okay, so she was married around the time that she could have conceived her daughter. So that makes me feel a little bit better that at least we have a second potential baby daddy in the picture. Still creepy as fuck that the dad is like the potential other baby daddy. But
well,
I don't know that I think that theory flies. Like, did they find evidence that he wasn't killed? Like, how do you know?
I'm still trying to figure out who and why they're like, I know, let's cut off their heads and send them all to a clairvoyant.
Okay, so there's a part on that also in here, but I didn't read it because we kind of already went through it, but I'll see if this has more information. So after the bodies of the Gruber family and their housekeeper were discovered, a doctor performed the autopsies in the barn where 4 of them had been murdered with a mattock. Then the court physician removed the heads of all 6 victims, which he reportedly sent to Munich for further examination. Allegedly, the skulls of the Grubers and their maid were also given to clairvoyants. Thus, the Gruber family and their maid, Maria Baumgartner, were buried without their heads. According to the authorities, the skulls went missing following the upheaval caused by World War II and were never recovered. So that really didn't give us any more information, but...
So I'm just wondering, like, who would have taken them? So maybe if it was the husband who didn't die in the war, who did come back, did he then, like, steal their skulls?
You know, I feel like, and granted, I know World War I was very, like, bad, and I know it really messed people up. I know, like, war does that to people. But, yeah. I mean, dude, if you've been gone for, like, 8 years, you have to expect your wife is gonna move on.
Well, and where would he have gone for 8 years?
Exactly. Unless he was kept in some, like, military hospital and he had amnesia, like in The Little Princess. And then all of a sudden, 8 years later, he's like, I know, I'm going to head to Hinterkaifeck. And then it's like, wait, who's that young boy? That's not my kid. I've been missing for 8 years. So I'm going to kill everyone. What? That.
And then I'll steal their skulls.
So, there is also a woman who contacted the police in 1999 with a lead. Wait,
Okay, what was that?
Okay, so in 1999, an elderly woman contacted the authorities claiming her former landlord admitted to having information about the Hinterkaifeck killings. Officials investigated this tip and learned that the landlord supposedly made this claim in 1935. However, it was too late as a potential suspect mentioned in the leads was no longer living in 1999. In 2007, more than 80 years after the Gruber family and their maid were killed, students at a German police academy used modern techniques to investigate the unsolved case. The students ruled out all but one suspect they believe committed the murders in the Hinterkaifeck farm. However, the suspected killer is dead, so they didn't publicly name the person they think is responsible for the massacre out of respect for the suspect's relatives, who are still alive. I mean, here's what I'm going to say. I personally feel like if you can reevaluate this crime scene like 80 years later and you think that you can figure out who the killer is and like say this was like a strong suspect at the time, fuck respect for the family. Like their family member was a fucking monster. Like, you don't deserve that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can disagree if you would like. That's fine. But, like, best believe if my family member was a monster, I would want to know. I wouldn't want to remember Uncle Joe. And we don't have an Uncle Joe, so I'm just picking a random name. Like, I wouldn't want to remember him as, like, this, like, oh, he was so nice and kind. No, he was a dark-ass motherfucker who slaughtered 6 or 7 people. No. Like, tell me this information, please.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, just because I'm a family member of a killer doesn't mean I deserve special treatment. That's my opinion. I'm not a family member of a killer. P.S., by the way. I'm just speaking in theoretical. That got weird.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note,
I'm off now.
All right.
I've left you speechless and stunned.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Well, I maybe go ahead and delete that ending part so we can just try and end it normal.
No, you're fine. I'll leave it up to you.
Okay. Well, anyways, I hope you enjoyed our final Murder Mystery Monday of this Halloween season.
True.
Maybe you questioning a lot of people's heads and why send them to a clairvoyant.
All right, and we'll talk at you next time.
Bye.
Bye.